The book of Proverbs, chapter 10. I began last Wednesday, if you were not here, teaching on the family business. And by the way, we will have the ability now to put the services on DVD, and you can have a copy of the service, mainly so you can go back if you want to look at it, but give it away. Give it out to people so that people will get hooked on Jesus. I believe Jesus can become addictive. I believe he can become addictive. You know, if once you see and taste that the Lord is good, you always want more of him. If you ever get in that presence of God, you want more of that presence. Amen. And you learn. See, you learn the goodness of God. You learn those that seek the Lord. And that's what you're doing tonight, will come behind in no good thing. Now, we begin a series, and I'm going to teach this for a little while because the theme of January has been to get our priorities right for 2009. And, one of the things that I believe that is essential and timely for us to get a hold of is this idea of taking care of business. Now, I want to just up front tell you, this is not a message about tithe and offering, but it is a message about taking care of business. Remember that old song, Taking Care of Business? Every day and every way. And when God created Adam and Eve, some of us are getting dated when we sing those songs, right? Some of these young people say, Praise the Lord. Okay. I said that when God set Adam and Eve in the garden, he instituted, if you will, the institution of marriage. But that's also an institution of a business. How many know that the family is a small business? Amen. And, it has a president, it has a vice president, and it has a chairman of the board. How many know who the chairman of the board is? All right, no. Jesus better be Lord over your business. And he better be Lord over your family. Amen. So let's look at some more things here and get into the Word here. And I believe that, that will help you, because we were told by the book of Genesis in chapter 2 that when a husband and wife come together, that they're to come together as one flesh. And one flesh has to do with unity. In order for us to get into agreement, Amos 3:3 told us that, how can two walk together unless they be agreed, or they agree? So we have to have common goals. We have to have shared vision. We talked about all these things last week. But in the book of Proverbs, let's look at some things here. Let's look at verse 15. He said, the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Now let's read it one more time. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Now I want you to take note here that poverty destroys people. I'm going to talk on this side. Poverty is not only a curse, but it destroys people. Amen. Now when I first got into Christianity, they told me that if you went after riches and you went after wealth, that you were coveting and that you were materialistic. But when I read scriptures like this, it reminds me of the covenant that I have with God. Amen. And if God said that poverty, let's read it one more time there, verse 15, he said, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Now, how many know God is not in the destruction business? He's in the construction business. So the Word connects poverty and destruction together. Now, how many of you, want to have a successful family business? Now, some of you are single. Do I have any single people in here? So we're not leaving you out. You're going to get something out of this message, whatever. Because even if you're single, you do have a business partner. And you need to get in agreement with that partner. And that partner is the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 22. Most of everything I say tonight will be in the book of Proverbs. We just got a lot of scripture to look at. How many know Proverbs is a book of wisdom? The wisdom of God is equivalent to the principles of God. Now, as we share and we say this in the church here, there's two sides. You know, you can believe God, which most of us do, and use our faith and do what, you know, God has commanded us to do and believe God to prosper. Or we can get in the Word of God and find out the principles, what God says, how to operate in these principles. And when we operate and learn to apply these principles in our life, then we are going to have success because God's Word does not fail. Amen. If we do something, like make an investment, and that investment, we thought we heard from God, but that investment didn't pan out. How many know we didn't hear from God correctly? Now, we're going to be pretty blunt tonight, okay? Because we're talking about family business. There's things that, you know, you wouldn't do. We don't have a lot of, you know, maybe not a lot of business people in here, but you that are business-minded, you know, there's a lot of things that you would do in your family that you wouldn't do or tolerate in your business. So we've got to come back and say, okay, what does the Word of God? We know the Lord can provide for us. We know that when we miss it, we can be quick to repent, get God's forgiveness. But if we allow ourselves, for example, to do stupid things, like create more debt in our life than we are able to pay, how many know that is not wisdom? Debt puts us in bondage. Debt puts you in bondage and it limits you from being free to do what God wants you to do. Debt puts stress on your life. Anybody ever been in debt? Okay. It's not a good feeling, is it? That's not the will of God. That's not the plan of God. And so what you and I, you know, we can either say, okay, Lord, I need a miracle, and I need you to do it right now, Lord, or we can begin to apply the principles of God so that we can apply the Word of God to our lives so that our life can be a successful life. We're going to find out that, you know, God wants us to be a blessing in this life. Amen. And we've already, you know, got the grasp of we've got to be blessed in order to be a blessing. But you know something else? And we don't talk about this a whole lot, but God not only wants you to be a blessing in your life, but He wants you to be a blessing in your death. Amen. Now, I'm not advocating that people are glad when you die, but you are not to be a burden on somebody when you do. Are y'all here tonight? Proverbs 22, verse 7 says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Now, the rich rule over the poor. I don't want anybody ruling over my life except the Lord Jesus Christ. I only want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I don't want to serve somebody that I'm in bondage to because I'm in debt to them. The only person I want to serve is the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of God. Are y'all with me? Now keep in mind, we're not teaching on tithes and offerings tonight. We're talking about getting our family business in line with the Word of God. Now if you don't want to get your family business in line with the Word of God, then I'm talking to the wrong crowd. Because there's a lot of books, there's a lot of things, you know, you can read about success and life and so on and so forth. But we're talking about the Word of God. And the Word of God, when we apply the Word of God, is what will bring us success in life. And if we're not going to apply the Word of God, or yet don't believe the Word of God, then there's no help for that kind of person. That person is called a fool in the Word of God. And so we are not foolish. And we're nobody's fool, amen? And we all have come short, and we all have made errors in our life, and we've learned things, and, you know, we have to get in the Word of God and unlearn the things that we did wrong or that brought destruction and, you know, contamination in our life. But I like what he says. He says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, look, when you understand that it's in your lap, the Word of God connects rich and poor, poverty and destruction, and it becomes on your side or in your lap of what you are going to choose. You can choose to be poor or you can choose to be rich. Now, you'll get a lot of flack by saying a statement like that, but I'm just reminding you, you know, what the Word of God says, whether you're rich or whether you're poor is really up to you. Because if you apply the Word of God, if you apply the principles of God's Word in your life, you will succeed. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter. It depends. See, it's not really even how much money you have or don't have. It's what you do with what you got. You can take somebody that's got a lot and they can squander it away. You can take somebody, and I know several people that came into this country with nothing, but yet are prosperous today. Amen. So when we learn to apply the Word of God in these areas of our life, then we are setting up the family business for success. How many of you want your family to succeed? Amen. Okay. Proverbs chapter 10. Go back to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. I know we'll get all kinds of different opinions, but we're not looking for opinions tonight. We're looking for the Word of God. People want to debate with you. They want to argue with you. They want to decide whether the Bible is true or not. Well, I've already made my decision, amen? So I'm here tonight to teach believers what the Word of God says. And you can take the Word of God. If you want to argue with the Word of God, then that's your prerogative, okay? But let's read the Bible, and then let's choose if we're going to believe it or not. Amen. Okay? Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. It says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor. A slack hand. We used the scripture last week. A slack hand is talking about somebody that's lazy. Somebody that doesn't want to work, or they don't want to work the principles of God. Not willing, or, you know, whatever it takes to succeed in life. How many know, again, you know, things don't usually just, you know, come down the road and fall in our lap. Okay, so we have to work the principles of God. And we have to be diligent in our lifestyle. That's what he says in verse 4. He says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So it's really in your hand. It's really in your control whether you become rich or whether you become poor. But if you're going to become rich, then you're going to have to be diligent. Diligent means that you take a hold of what is necessary of the Word of God. You apply that and you know that God is a God that cannot lie and that God's work works every time. Amen. And if there's something that has failed, or there's something that didn't pan out again, then the mistake is not God. It was the ability that either we didn't hear from God or we wasn't diligent with the Word of God that we got to carry out the instructions of God. Amen. Okay, now Proverbs chapter 6. Let's just get into this a little bit more here, because what you have to see as we look at these verses of Scripture, here's a little nugget for you. Every verse of Scripture, I believe, in the Bible has a key word or a key phrase in it. Now, we have to look for that. That's why we have to read Scripture many times and several times. But there will be a key phrase or a key word that you need to look for. Now, let's see here in chapter 6 of Proverbs. And let's begin at verse 6. Because he's going to give us something that we can relate to in the natural to see something spiritual. Same way Jesus taught. Look what it says. He said, go to the ant. Everybody say ant. Okay. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Now, how many of you want to be wise? Amen. So here's the key word or the key phrase. This is something we can observe here and be wise. Our wisdom comes from the Lord. Amen? Amen. Our wisdom is Jesus. And Jesus wants us wise. And here's what we can look at. The New Living Translation, it says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones, and learn from their ways and become wise. So we're going to take a look for just a moment of what it takes to become wise. You want to become wiser than you are? Okay, let's learn some lessons here from the ant. He says, verse 7, which having no captain, no overseer, and no ruler. Or in other words, the ant has no boss. He doesn't need somebody looking over his shoulder telling him what to do all the time. In other words, the ant is self-motivated. I mean, no, you're going to get along a lot further in life if you're self-motivated. Come on, somebody. He does what he is supposed to do without having constant oversight. You don't have to have somebody constantly behind them, kicking them in the rear end to get them to do something. Are y'all here tonight? Okay. We can learn these lessons from the ant. So, look at verse 8. It says, provides her supplies in the summer. Provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Now, ants take care of business themselves. And they lay up for themselves for other seasons of life. They're not looking for anybody to take care of their business. They are not looking for the government to bail them out because of their failure of management. Amen. Or the church. Amen. I believe the tithe and offering ought to be used to get the gospel out. Hallelujah. To get the word of God out to the world, as the Great Commission says. Amen. Amen. All right. Verse 8. So we can learn this lesson that ants plan ahead. They save up, in other words, for other seasons. A person who only lives day by day or from hand to mouth, from paycheck to paycheck, that is not a wise person. I said that's not a wise person. A wise person should always be looking to the future. A wise person should always be planning for the future. You do have a future, don't you? Okay. Verse 9. Let's read on. Let's see what else the ant does here. It says, how long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? Verse 10 says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and so shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler. Now look what it's saying here. Because what else can we learn from the ant? We can learn that the ant is not lazy. Here's what I jotted down. He's self-motivated. He plans for the future. The ant is not lazy. He is not looking to anybody else to bail him out. He is disciplined. And he does his job every day. He's diligent. He's not lazy. He's not sleeping when he needs to be working. Amen. Now go to Proverbs chapter 30. Say, he's helping me. Okay. Not after you, I'm helping you. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24. It's going to say almost the same thing, but let's look at this. Proverbs chapter 30, let's just begin in verse 24. He says, now there are four things, how many? Okay, there's four things which are little on the earth. These little things that we can look at will make a big difference in our life if we get the principle, if we learn what God is showing us from the wisdom here that's in these scriptures. He said, but they are exceedingly wise. So there's another key phrase. You want to be exceedingly wise? You want to be exceedingly wise? Okay, let's learn something else here. The ants are not a people that are not strong. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. So we see the ant again. He's already wise enough that he knows that he has to prepare for another season. Now, what does this have to do with family business? We're talking about wisdom again here. We're talking about understanding that we're going to live beyond tomorrow. At least I'm planning on it, unless the Lord comes. Right? And so, if we don't learn how to plan for the future, when the future comes and we're not able to handle it, or we have done something that causes, for example, you that make investments, you that do plan for the future, you do need the wisdom of God in that, especially today, with today's situation. But you never want to invest yourself to the point, if that investment does not make it, that you're wiped out. Amen. That is not wisdom. Now, a lot of us, you know, we've lost a lot of money. If you had any kind of, investments, you know what I'm talking about. But whatever we do, remember, now, we never get ourselves in a position where we put it all out on the table. And if we lose it, we're done. We're finished. That's a good business principle right here as well. You say, what if God tells me? Then do it. Just make sure it's God telling you. Because remember, if it didn't pan out and something happened and now you got to file bankruptcy, how many know that was not God? God didn't tell you to do it. You got greedy. You got greedy because you thought, oh man, this is a good deal. How many know not all good deals are God deals? Okay, so we have to make sure that as we plan for our future, we don't get ourselves in a position that the season changes and then we can't function or we can't survive because we weren't wise in our planning. You know who makes out the best in a recession? You know who makes out the best when we're going through economy downturns or economic downturns? Well, people that have planned for the future. People that have some cash. I mean, you can get some good deals today. But the last thing you want to do is go in debt to get the good deals. The last thing you want to do is extend your credit to the max, and then the season comes where it's still dry and you're back in bondage to that debt. Okay. So, let's read on here. He says we can learn these things, verse 25 says. And then verse 27, because verse 25 it says, they prepare their food in the summer. They're ready for the winter. They're ready for the next season. They're ready for the next change. Then these rock badgers, I don't know what version of the Bible you have, but I'm in the New King James. These rock badgers, we don't have any of those around here, but they're little bitty old rock squirrels or ground squirrels. You've seen like prairie dogs, you know, make little holes. Look what it says. They are feeble folk, yet they make their home in the crags. So what he's showing us here, these are very small animals, very weak. They're not, you know, Hercules-type creatures. They're not, you know, alligators or mountain lions, but these are very small, weak animals, creatures. And God is showing that if we get ourselves where we're not vulnerable, or we don't get ourselves in a position so that we fail, then God will cause us to succeed in whatever state or whatever time that we go through. Amen. Are you here? We have to remember that the Lord has never failed. Don't expect somebody to bail you out. That's what we see today because of their mismanagement. If these people would learn to apply the principles of God to their business, they wouldn't be in the shape that they are in. But because they don't believe in God, or they don't believe in the Word, or they don't believe in the principles, they think it's easier for somebody else to use their money to bail them out of their mess. A wise person does not do that. A wise family does not do that. The head of a wise family does not get their family in a situation where they have to go and get somebody to bail them out of that situation. Okay. Now, let's read on here, because I can tell y'all are getting really excited about this. The lesson is that you put yourself in the safest position possible, okay? That you're prepared for the sign of times. You're prepared for whatever comes down the road, amen? Because God be for you, who can be against you? See, we can stand and we can confess the Scripture. My God supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory. And then tomorrow get the Spirit to shop on us and go out and buy everything our little beady eyes sets itself on. That's not wisdom. Are you with me? Come on. Now look at verse 27. It says, the locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. Now, notice what it said. The locusts advance in ranks. Or in other words, they learn how to network together. They learn how to come together as a family, as a group. How many know that there's strength in numbers? And if you have a family, then your family needs to work together for the common goal. That's why he said that we must come together as husband and wife, for example, as one flesh. I know a lot of couples, they act and operate as individuals. They act and operate on their own terms instead of a married couple according to the Word of God. They operate like that's my account and that's her account. This is my money and that's her money. How many know that's not wise? I said that's not godly planning or godly principles. It's not your money and her money. Some couples have their own checkbook. The wife has her checkbook and the husband has his checkbook, has his own account. She has her own account. That's not applying. Listen, that's not putting yourself in position to succeed. That's going against. You are not applying the Word of God to your family business if that's the way you think. Amen. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
Okay. Now don't get mad. Just read the Word of God here. We can learn some great lessons here. They advance in rank. We must have, if you didn't get this, we must have established common goals. In order to have common goals, we've got to get a vision for our family, just like we have to get a vision for our church or a vision for your business. And how many know, in order for that vision to be accomplished, you have to get into agreement. And it's very difficult to get everybody into agreement. If you got more than one working with you, it becomes difficult to get agreement. But agreement has to come. Just like a husband and wife, I told you last week, it is almost impossible to get a husband and wife to agree on everything. I guess the only thing that a husband and wife can really agree on is that he's the man and she's the woman. And outside of that, you're going to have to work at getting into agreement. You have to plan. Now listen, we have to plan to get to the goal that we want to reach. In order to get to the goal that we want to reach, we've got to have communication and we've got to have agreement. In order for you to have a successful family, you're going to have to communicate in that family. Your children are going to have to understand the vision of your family while they're with you. They're going to have to get in agreement in your family while they're with you. Come on, somebody. Okay. Only when you work together and get in agreement will you financially prosper the way God wants you to increase and prosper. And so you have to get rid of all this independent thinking when you have a family. And sometimes I know you come into a family because there's been a divorce and a remarriage, and then the children become a problem because now the new wife with her children doesn't want the new husband to discipline her children. Well, let me just say something to you. They're no longer your children. If you got married again, even though he's not the biological father, they're still your children together now. There has to be that. That has to be established. And if you're a mother or a woman, you don't want your new husband disciplining your children, then you shouldn't have got married. It doesn't work contrary to the Word of God. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? If we get out of the principles of God, then we get over out of the protection where God can prosper us in our family business. Okay, so you make a decision. I don't know how I got off on that. That's not even what I... You make a decision to always put God first, and then you put your spouse, a husband or wife, before your children. And you get that out of whack, you're going to be out of whack, okay? So you just need to know those things. Then the fourth little creature here in verse 28, let me get back on track here. It says the spider, everybody say the spider, skillfully grasps with his hands, and it is in king's palaces here. So a spider, as little as he is, he can go through the cracks and the crevices. And he's no respecter of persons. He can get in a rich man's house or a poor man's house. He's like a cucaracha. Amen. And how many know that spider, he works hard. He is diligent. Listen, he is very meticulous to weave that web. Sometimes it takes him all night long to weave that web to catch one little tiny fly. But how many know when he catches him, he's caught. So we have to, Let me give you this, because you that have people working for you, for example. How many of you have any employees? Okay, there's a few of you. All right. There's basically three kinds of employees. There are those that we call hard workers. They work hard and they are a company person. They are an asset to the company. They want to learn and they want to become so valuable that you can't get rid of them. And then there's the other that work hard, but only when you're watching them. I'm telling you. They work hard when you're looking at them, but when you're not, they're not. And then there's those that work hard to get out of any work at all. Now, I've had people say, we have employees here, and we've had to fire some. I say, how could you fire them? They're Christian. What are you talking about? This is a business. Amen. Do you want your tithe and offering to be paying a soul for work to be done that they're not working? No. Come on. Amen. See, people get all messed up in their thinking and their understanding. Why would we be less productive just because we work for God? We should be even more productive. Amen. Amen. And if we're a Christian, we ought to be productive for that place we work at. Amen. Because we should recognize where the blessing comes from. Yes. Are you with me? I'm just telling you, these are things sometimes that we don't always kind of see eye to eye. But the Bible teaches us how to work and be a valuable employee to the employer. And if we do these principles, we will receive and get promotion. If we're the type that work hard to get out of work, or only work when somebody's watching us, those are the ones that are going to be out.
Amen.
Eventually. Amen. All right. Proverbs 28. I gotta stop here. Y'all okay tonight? Okay. Proverbs 28:19. We'll look at another one here, and we're gonna have to stop it. Proverbs 28:19. It says, "He who tills the land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough." Let me read it out of the New Living for you so you can understand a little better. It says, "A hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies ends up in poverty." And again, sometimes we don't run our families like a business. And we do some things, these are our business people. Sometimes you do things in your business that you wouldn't tolerate in your family. And then we get goofed up, okay? So we're looking at these things for wisdom to speak into our life. We have to set goals. We have to, we have to plan for the future. We have to have some foresight to be able to save some money. Now, we know we've got a tithe, and we know we plan offerings, and we're not teaching on tithe and offering tonight. But, if you spend everything you got, and God forbid something next month happened, then what are you going to do? You see, if you didn't plan for any kind of future. Not only should you plan for the future, you should have some kind of life insurance. You say, is that spiritual? Sure. Because you're supposed to be laying up an inheritance for your children's children. And here's something else you don't talk too much about in church, but we'll talk about it here. If you got an elderly person in your family, you better be planning on them. If they get up 80, 90 years old, you better be planning on them dying someday. And who's going to pay for the funeral? You see, God's plan is that you and I be a blessing in this life. But we also need to be a blessing in death. We don't want our death to be a burden on somebody else. Amen. Because we weren't wise. Amen. If I should go tomorrow, I don't want to leave a burden on my wife to carry out. Now, some men, say, "Oh, I don't want to leave my wife anything because she'll marry somebody else and use it all on that rascal." No. She probably should get a certificate for putting up with you. Amen? And what difference does it make anyway? You won't be here, so it doesn't matter who she spends it on. Amen. So, everybody say wise planning. I was going to get to you singles. How many singles we got in here? I run out of time, but let me tell you something. Singles, when you're dating, now the purpose of dating is to get married. But let me tell you something, ladies. If you're a high-maintenance woman, how many know what a high-maintenance woman is? they get the spirit of shop on them. They think that's a gift from God. But listen, if you're the type of woman, I'm not saying anything wrong with it, but you're used to living high on the hog. I'm not talking about the guy you're with. I'm talking about, going to the most expensive stores, having the most expensive clothes, the most expensive shoes, eating at the most expensive restaurant. You better not get married to somebody that works for a minimum wage. Because eventually, remember, common sense will come back to you. And now you're in trouble because you're putting pressure on that spouse to live the life that you wanted to live. See, it's wisdom. Say wisdom. So if you want to live that lifestyle, nothing wrong with it. But you better believe God to bring you the right person that can support that lifestyle. Amen. Because that person, and we're not putting anybody down. Listen, for example, a police officer. Man, we couldn't do without the police.
Amen.
And they work hard. They put their life on the line every day for us.
Yes.
They go through the, they put up with a lot of baloney from people. But how many know they don't make a lot of money?
Amen.
Anybody that works for the government in that sense, taxpayer, they don't make a lot of money. So you may fall in love with somebody like, nothing wrong with that. But you don't, you know, you don't want, the last thing you want to do in your marriage is put pressure on that spouse because he's not meeting what you expected, and you put pressure on him in order to do what you want to do. You know, eventually that's going to cause problems. Because the number one cause of couples falling out is financial pressure. Can I hear a better grunt? So I want you all to stand up on your feet. I got a lot more on this, but we got to stop. We got to take care of...